Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's always fun to talk science with our guest today, Bassam Shakashiri. He is a professor of chemistry at UW-Madison, a master of chemical demonstrations. And so we'll be talking with him about, maybe a little about climate change issues. We can talk about water quality a little bit. We'll also talk about the president's science advisor, talk about the start of the new school year, and certainly hear from you. What scientific issues are you concerned about? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Bassam Shakashiri, welcome back.
I'm very happy to be here, Larry. Thank you for having me on your program. This is a special occasion for me. Did you know that I'm starting my 49th year as a faculty member at UW-Madison?
That's a great milestone.
I'm very proud of that. Very proud to be a citizen of Wisconsin, proud to be a citizen of the university, and what a wonderful place to be at UW-Madison. Our state is really very progressive, and our state cares a great deal about the quality of life, and it's been a very special privilege for me to be here for that period of time, and I'm looking forward to being here much longer.
Well, that's good. Well, after all these years, I know I've been around a while too. I always get excited. There are things that I get excited about. What still excites you about the start of a school year and teaching chemistry in all your courses?
It's always really exciting for me to see the freshness of the look on the faces of the students, not only the new students but the returning students. They come back for a reason. They receive quality education here. They want to learn more. They want to graduate. The freshness is really very impressive to me. And then the fact that the university continues to excel on so many fronts in teaching and research and public service, that is always a very good reminder to me as to who we are, what we stand for, and what we would like to do, especially for the Wisconsin idea in the 21st century. We are very happy and pleased with what the Wisconsin idea has done for Wisconsin. But that's in the past, and so it's up to us now to define the Wisconsin idea for the 21st century and get our fellow citizens to really participate in meaningful activities and to think about the quality of life in Wisconsin and the effect of science and scientific research and education on the economy of our state, on the effect on schools, all kinds of good things come to mind as we start yet another new academic year.
Yeah, you were busy this summer. You just got back from the American Chemical Society meetings. Those are always interesting and fun.
Very interesting. We had over 14,000 chemists that assembled in Boston for the semi-annual meeting of our society. Lots of new discoveries were reported. Hopefully in due time they will find their way to the market. The linkage between research, basic research, and technology is very crucial. There were scientific papers presented about ways by which now lithium batteries can be prevented from catching on fire. New electrolyte system, a lot of technical information along those lines. There were other papers that dealt with the quality of water, dealt with 3D printing, so many different, all aspects of science. The main theme of the meeting was nano science and nanotechnology, you know, going down to smaller than 100 nanometers. So it was a very good technical meeting, and it was also good for me to be back in Boston, because that's the first city we lived in when we came to the United States way back in 1957.
And you were recognized for your work in interpreting chemistry. That sounds like you had quite a celebration for that, too.
I was overwhelmed. A week ago, yesterday afternoon, there was a huge reception and many tributes. So I was really, really overwhelmed and very touched. And Larry, what we do on your program is try to interpret chemistry, try to interpret science to everyone who, as I keep saying, cares about the quality of life in society. And I strongly feel that science and society have a social contract that allows us in science to achieve great intellectual matters, to reach those matters, to achieve them. But it also comes with an obligation to society to improve the mm-hmm. condition, the human condition. And so all of these topics were discussed at this meeting in a technical sense, scientific technical sense, but also in a societal sense. And I'm very grateful for the recognition that I was given, and it, of course, reflects very well on all of us in Wisconsin.
It certainly does. Well, you know, the nomination for President's Science Advisor, that was announced, of course, and he's now going through confirmation hearings. That was a long time coming. Could you talk about the nominee and what role that advisor plays?
Yes, the nominee is Kevin Drogemeyer. He's a professor of meteorology from the University of Oklahoma in Norman. I have known him because he served on the National Science Board most recently for the past 8 years or so. I think he's a good nominee, but, you know, it's, as you say, it's been a long time since the present administration came into power, and we have not had the benefit of scientific advice given to the president. The science advisor to the president is the chief of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, OSTP, Office of Science and Technology Policy. And this was established in 1976 by an act of Congress. Since then, very outstanding individuals have served in that capacity, with providing the president with very much needed advice on scientific matters, but also on national security matters, economic security as well. So this is a very important office, and he is now in the process of going before the Senate for confirmation hearings. I hope that he gets in place. I hope he then pursues some of the outstanding policies that his predecessors have been pursuing in the past eight or I'd say even two dozen years. These policies will affect our economy. These policies will affect the quality of science research, the quality of science education. I think it's a very important position, and I hope he gets confirmed, and I hope, more importantly, he gets listened to.
Yeah. Why did it take so long on this particular nomination? Why, you know, it's been 3 years.
Well, the delays, I think, are because of the concerns that have been expressed about what the Environmental Protection Agency regulations are, the Department of Interior. Different points of view that have been that have come into play, and I, as I say, I'm very hopeful that we will remain on the track of protecting the environment and not abandoning the outstanding policies that have helped us get to the stage that we're at now in society. I think this is a very important appointment. But, of course, he cannot do it by himself. He has to get staff. And as I keep saying, he has to be listened to. And so anyone in our listening audience who has interest in science policy and governmental matters should really be contacting the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy and express their views about the role of scientists in society. I think it's a very, very important part that all of us should be concerned about, whether you're a scientist or not.
Yeah. Well, here we've got the midterm elections a couple of months away. Let's look at it from a science and education aspect here. What are the science and education-related issues that may play a part in the election?
Well, there are quite serious concerns about the support for basic research, the support for technology transfer. I think it's very important that everyone participate in the election. It's just a few weeks away from now. They're very important issues that affect us personally, issues that relate to our economic status, issues that relate to climate change, issues that relate to conquering diseases, issues that relate to the quality of water that we have. We have very limited resources. They're very precious resources. And it's very, very important that all of us be concerned about the policies that we want our elected officials at the national level, at the state level, at the local levels to pursue. Larry, right now around the globe, there are 1.3 billion people who cannot do what I'm about to do.
Well, namely, take a drink.
Take a drink of water. Take a drink of water, clean water.
Yeah, it's...
And they're not all overseas either. Some are in our country. So we have to be electing officials. We have to be electing our representatives to really preserve the foundations upon which our democratic society was founded and continues to function. This is very, very crucial. There's no doubt that global warming is real. I would say global warming is unequivocal. And so we have to then see to it that we have proper regulations, that we have proper responsibility taken by not only the government, but by individuals and by groups of individuals in the private sector and the public sector, to be very caring for us to be stewards of the places where we live, stewards of the planet itself. It's very, very important that we do that. And, Larry, when I became a citizen, I'm a naturalized citizen. I was sworn in May 24th, 1974, here in Madison. I had my green card for a while. The only difference between having a green card and being a citizen was my ability to vote. Mm-hmm. And I have voted in every election since then. I urge everyone to vote. The turnout in the 2 years ago was less than desirable. So everyone, please get someone who has not voted to vote. In fact, my challenge to my fellow scientists is get 5 to 10 people who did not vote last time and ask them and encourage them and have them participate in our democratic institution of voting on in early November.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, as we get a science update from him. We're talking about a broad range of science issues relating to education, research, politics. Give a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And email us at ideas@wpr.org. Sarah Hopeful, our engineer, Jill Nadeau, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at science and science education today with our guest, Bassam Shakashiri, professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining in. Questions, science questions for him, give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. One of the programs that's been, I think, pretty popular is the Science is Fun group. And you do science presentations all summer long, or your group does.
We've been very, very, very busy. As recently as this past weekend, we were at the Good Neighbor Festival in Middleton. We had exploration stations Friday and Saturday. People came up, kids of all ages. So rewarding and so satisfying to see kids who are youngsters and kids who are grandparents do hands-on experiments. And yesterday we participated in the parade that lasted for about an hour and a half in Middleton. Yes, we've been to a number of places, not only in the Madison area, but coming up actually, Larry, in a few short weeks, we're going to the western side of the state. We're going to La Crosse. We're going to Alma. And then we're going to drive across the state and go to Sturgeon Bay, where there is a water fest. So we are very, very active. In fact, we can't respond affirmatively to all the requests that we get. But that should not discourage you from sending us a request, because we try to make our schedule match with your schedule, and all such requests can come to our Science is Fun website, which is scifun.org, scifun.org. And we're going to libraries, we're going to schools, we're going to retirement homes, all over the place. And it is my intention to really carry the Wisconsin idea in the 21st century to all corners of the state. And and we have a Science is Fun truck equipped with chemicals and equipment that we drive around, and we do hands-on experiments, and we do actual presentations as well. Very similar to the kinds of things that we do in my one-hour annual program, Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Lab of Shaka Shiri. But that's not till the end of November, early December.
Well, you know, we've hit on the Wisconsin idea a couple of times. Are you, and you talked a little bit about the, you know, reimagining perhaps, or at least looking at the Wisconsin idea, and do you think we're on the right track with it? Should we be making changes in how we approach this? Or
I think we are on the right track, but we have to do it better. We have to talk with people rather than talk at people. We want to have conversations where we listen to what people want to say, listen to their concerns, listen to their ideas. I think it's very important for people to approach us as well, and not only invite us to be in their community, but to sustain the connection. The operative word for me is connectivity. Connecting the university, connecting science with individual and groups of citizens in the state of Wisconsin. And it's a two-way street. It's not unidirectional. It is about meaningful exchanges of ideas, listening carefully to what people want to say, and also being respectful in all conversations. I think the element of respect is very, very important. So the Wisconsin idea for the 21st century, I think, has to manifest itself in having more of the University of Wisconsin faculty and staff make better connections with others in our state, not only in Dane County, but all over the state. In fact, you know, we should do it in neighboring states as well. That's a very important dimension of what the Wisconsin idea is, and it's a dimension that has to be lived. So living the Wisconsin idea in the 21st century requires a concerted effort on all of our all of my colleagues and faculty and staff to not only reach out, but to connect and to listen and have a sustained relationship. I think it's a very important thing that we have to do differently than what we've done in the past. What we've done in the past has been very successful, but improving the connectivity within the state is crucial. And, you know, the Wisconsin idea is also around the nation. It's around the globe. So those elements continue to be strong, and we must commit ourselves to doing that.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, what education or science issues do you think are most important in this election year? Have you maybe attended a Sciences Fun event? What makes learning about science fun for you? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And let's take a call here. Lynn in Evansville, we'll give you a chance. Lynn, thank you for calling.
And thank you for taking my call. I was watching a show hosted by Dr. Shakashiri on public television. It might have been Science is Fun. And in that show, it demonstrated a chemical reaction. I'm sorry that I can't specifically enumerate anything about it other than it oscillated in color. In other words, it would the reaction caused a particular color to manifest. Then you watched longer, and it changed color again, and it kept oscillating back and forth. And I'm very interested about the name of the reaction. I understand it was developed by, I think, teachers here in Wisconsin. And any information I could get about it, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you, Lynn, for your question, and thank you for your astute observation. Yes, that's a very well-known reaction. It's a reaction that involves the decomposition of a highly concentrated solution of hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide breaks down into water and oxygen gas, but there are about 8 or 9 different additional chemicals placed in that large beaker of water. It's a 4-liter beaker, and the color changes that you allude to are color changes characteristic of the formation of a product of the reaction and then the disappearance of that product, the generation of that product and then the consumption of that product. And the reaction is called the Briggs-Rauscher reaction. Briggs and Rauscher taught high school chemistry and physics in Northern California, not in Wisconsin. And in 1973, they published a paper describing this beautiful, captivating behavior that you are talking about that caught your attention and even caused you to call. Then it took researchers, high-powered researchers, it took them 9 years to figure out the details of the mechanisms of the transformations that are so captivating. This is why we do scientific research, to satisfy our curiosity, to try to connect our knowledge with everyone in society. The Briggs-Rauscher reaction is the decomposition of hydrogen peroxide in the presence of a variety of other chemicals, including potassium iodide, malonic acid, potato starch, manganese sulfate, sulfuric acid, and a few others. And if you go to my website, scifun.org, and you click on Books for Chemical Demonstrations, you will find this in Volume 2 of my Chemical Demonstration book series, which is published by the University of Wisconsin Press.
There you go. And so those colors change as different chemicals begin reacting with the hydrogen peroxide.
Well, the hydrogen peroxide is stable. It doesn't decompose very quickly, but if you add something we call a catalyst that speeds up the reaction, then you get these beautiful transformations. And actually, on my website, we also have a video posted of that.
Oh.
So if you go to the scifun.org and look under our YouTube channel, you will find that. It's actually in several locations on our website.
All right. Lynn, does that help out?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. Bob in Waukesha up next. Bob, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. My question deals with the safety aspect. With science, you always have safety coming into play. And I understand with microtechnology, there is a problem with those particles getting in and causing havoc with our cells. I just wonder what the doc has learned from the conference dealing with microtechnology on the safety aspect of using it.
Safety is paramount. We're all not only concerned about it, but we have to be very careful about it. Yes, there are studies that are conducted to ascertain the safety aspects of these nanoparticles, the small microparticles. It's very important that is done. And it depends on the systems that are being developed. Prior to taking something to the market, extensive scientific research and validation of that is done. As with all new discoveries, we have to look at all aspects and all dimensions of the consequences of using those discoveries. So that's a very important point that you raise, Bob, in terms of the safety aspect of all new developments, whether they are on a nanoscale or even at a bigger scale.
So the testing and the rules and regulations are hopefully designed to mitigate potential problems.
Definitely. They're designed for that purpose. And you know, that's why we have these federal regulations and the regulatory agencies, whether it's the FDA or EPA. And that's why they should remain strong in what they do, so that it is not only our personal safety, but the safety of the environment where we all live.
All right. Bob, thank you so much for calling. Does that answer your question, by the way?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments. You know, you were mentioning that video, and I want to go back to scifund.org. Because you have a lot of information on there that are, you know, experiments and so on. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, the website scifund.org is a place where I invite everyone in the listening audience to visit. We have experiments you can do at home. In the upper left corner, when you get to our website, click on that. You can download experiments that you can do safely with everyone at home, with kids of all ages. And don't do them by yourself. Please do them with someone else in the family, because we want everyone to participate in the joy of learning. And for those listeners who are involved in homeschooling, this is a good source of experiments that can be done there, too. We receive significant email inquiries from homeschoolers about such experiments. We have other entries on the website that, by the way, we have a listing of events of interest where we enumerate where we're going to be, and all of these events are open to the public, including the ones that I just mentioned a few minutes ago in La Crosse and Alma and in Sturgeon Bay and in other locations. We have information about chemicals. There's an entry called Learn About. You click on Learn About and you then find a listing of over 24 entries where you can learn about. Well, I'll let you find out what you're going to learn about.
Well, give us one clue.
You can learn about carbon dioxide. You can learn about silver. You can learn about climate change. How about three clues, right? you can learn more about the properties and the behavior of chemicals in the environment. You can learn about the beautiful color changes that we anticipate in about 8 weeks or so. The color changes when the leaves begin to change color, when the temperature goes down and the humidity changes and the amount of sunlight changes. All of these beautiful chemical transformations are there. You can learn about chlorophyll. You want more?
Sure.
You can learn about water. Water, a unique substance, Larry. You know, water is the only chemical that exists on the planet in three stable phases. The gas phase, water vapor, liquid water, and ice. It's a very fascinating material. And so there's all kinds of information like that. There is information about science, the arts, and the humanities, because we aim to cultivate creativity in science, in the arts, and in the humanities. There are about 10 to a dozen different programs that we have been engaged in for many years now. We don't do them all at the same time.
Right.
But the website is a rich source of information, which I hope the users then will take that information and change it into knowledge, and then also act on the knowledge that they that they acquire.
Why is science? Well, how do science and the arts marry in your view?
Well, I'm of the school of thought that says there is one culture. A famous scientist and writer, C.P. Snow, said decades ago, there are two cultures. But I align myself with the people who say it's only one culture in terms of the creativity of the human mind and the expressions of those creativity aspects, whether it's in paintings or in music or in scientific discoveries. The approaches and the methodologies are different, but I firmly believe that we have to nurture creativity, and we have to do that in ways that enables people to fulfill their human potential, whether they are still in school or outside of school. I think it's very, very important to have a good sense of appreciation of the arts, if you're a scientist or not a scientist, a good sense of appreciation of scientific discoveries, becoming science literate. You don't have to become a science expert, but you can become literate in science, where you appreciate what the scientific aspects are of discovery and how we use them. And that's very, very important, especially when it comes to major issues that affect our daily lives. And I want to come back to what I said a few moments ago. Climate change is something that affects all of us. We just have to learn what it is. We have to learn how we can mitigate those changes. We have to learn on a personal basis as well as a collective basis how to deal with reducing our dependence on fossil fuels. We're not going to give up on fossil fuels. We just have to go back and make sure that we appreciate what science and technology have done to us and have done for us since the Industrial Revolution. But now we know more scientifically and technologically about the adverse effects of such progress, and we have to be careful with that. But back to your point about science and the arts is very, very important. This is why in my programs, I wish I could do it every time. I have a person in my group do an experiment and play a musical instrument, or sing, or talk about you know, as we did last year in the 48th annual Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Lab of Shaka Cheery, we talked. The element was cadmium, and cadmium is used in paint. Cadmium cell compounds of cadmium are used in paint, and the great artist Van Gogh used a lot of so many other artists used that too. Pigments that are yellow. And so there is a lot of connectivity between what science deals with and what artists also deal with.
Is the approach of the artist to his or her work different from the approach of the natural scientist to his or her work?
That's a very good question in terms of how creativity works. The expressions may be different. The expressions are different. How one approaches a way to express themselves artistically, yes, differs by the selection of what pigments they use, or what musical instruments they use when they make a composition. But I think, you know, creativity itself is a very important topic for us in science and in the arts to talk about. And this is what contributes to making us a great university, that we have people who deal with such questions and who try to enlighten not only themselves, but enlighten the rest of us about these types of connectivities.
I think one of the interesting things that results from a campus or from just people getting together, the approach or how people look at things, perhaps the musician or the singer, and how that may impact what a scientist, a natural scientist, might, how they might look at what they are doing.
Yes, I think that there is a connection there between the expression. I call it the expression, the manifestation of creativity in a concert, a musical concert, or at an opera, and what the scientific thought process is. I think there is some connectivity there. I there are people who are experts at this and know a lot more than I do about it, but I it is something that I feel strongly we should continue to explore.
Yeah. But Sam, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much. Again, let's go back and put, you've got some events coming up and you've got a lot of that information on your website.
We will be in La Crosse on March, I'm sorry, not March, we'll be in La Crosse on September 13th. September 14th will be in Alma, Wisconsin, a little north of La Crosse. On the 15th will be in Sturgeon Bay. But then, you know, we will be at the Wisconsin Science Festival, which is in October. Many, many sessions happening, hands-on activities, hands-on, minds-on activities. The entire Science Festival has become a very huge, successful enterprise, and my group will be participating in that. I will be making a public presentation at the very end of the festival on Sunday. But we also have other workshops for the public that relate to climate change. All of these are listed on the Wisconsin Science Festival website and also on events of interest on my website, scifund.org. We invite everyone to visit and to communicate with us. And I promise that we respond to inquiries within 48 hours. All inquiries we respond to except one kind. We will not help you do your homework problem.
Thanks, Bassam. Bassam Shakashiri, always fun to have him with us. Professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison, really known for his leadership in national science policy, promoting excellence in science education at all levels, and a host of other things as well. It's always fun to have him with us. He'll be back soon, and we'll talk again with him. Coming up, we're going to take we talked a little about climate change, and we didn't really get into weather, but we'll be getting into weather a lot coming up next with our weather guys here on the Ideas Network.